This week is Parshas Vayetze, and we'll start our shir this week in chapter 30, verse number 25. But before that, we'll give a quick synopsis of what's happening in the Parsha. Basically, Yaakov Avinu has to run away from his brother Esav, and he goes to Haran. There he meets Rachel and Leah, and he first asks Lavan for the hand of Rachel in marriage and says that I will work 7 years for the hand of Rachel. After 7 years, Lavan switches wife on him and gives him Leah. Then Yaakov decides to work another 7 years for Rachel. And during the 14 years, all the children of Yaakov are born besides Binyamin. And right after Yosef is born, we start in Pasuk 25. The Pasuk says, Vayhi kasha yaldo Rachel es Yosef. As soon as Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Vayoyme Yaakov elavon. Yaakov tells Lavan, Shalcheni, please send me. Ve'elcho al mekoimi ularzi. And let me go to my place and to my land. Meaning that since he already worked for 14 years and he already married the wives, now he wants to go back to his place, to the place where his father is, meaning to Be'er Sheva. But the Pasuk says that as soon as Rachel gave birth to Yosef. The question is, why is that connected with Yaakov's desire to go back? The Rashbam says simply that Yosef HaTzadik was born right at the end of the second 7 years, meaning at the end of the 14 years that Yaakov stipulated with Laban that he will work for the wives. Therefore, the time that Yaakov told Lavan that he'll work for the wives is up. Therefore, Yaakov goes to Lavan and tells him, send me because my time is up. But it's really not connected to the birth of Yosef. It so happens that Yosef's birth was at the end of the second 7 years, which is the completion of the time that Yaakov said that he will work for Lavan. The Torah explains that before Yosef was born, Yaakov was afraid that Lavan won't let him go home because he may be afraid that Yaakov is going to divorce Rachel since Rachel has no children. But now that Rachel has a child, now Lavan doesn't have to be afraid anymore that Yaakov is going to divorce Rachel since Rachel has Yosef. Therefore, right after Yosef, who is the first child of Rachel, was born, Yaakov came to Lavan and asked him to please let him go home because I have been here for 14 years and it's time for me to go home to my parents. Rashi gives a different answer, and Rashi says that Misha Noilat Satnoi Shel Esav, as soon as the nemesis of Esav was born, meaning as soon as Yosef, who is the nemesis of Esav, was born, then Yaakov was comfortable to ask to go home. Rashi brings a pasuk in Ovadia, chapter 1, verse number 18, where it says, "Vayu beis Yaakov eish," that the house of Yaakov is going to be fire, "uveis Yosef lehava," and the Yosef's house is going to be a flame, "uveis Esav lekach," and the house of Esav is going to be straw, "eish beloy lehava eino sholet merachek," a fire without a flame doesn't affect very far, but Mishenolat Yosef, but once Yosef was born, Botach Yaakov Bakodesh Baruch Hu, Yaakov trusted in Hashem, Verotzaloshuv, when he wanted to go back to the land of Canaan, to Be'er Sheva, to be next to his parents. The Medrash Rabbah in Parsha 73, Simon 7, explains that this was all a prophetic vision of Yaakov, that Yaakov knew that only Yosef HaTzadik is going to be the nemesis of Esav. Therefore, as soon as Yosef was born, Yaakov was no longer afraid of Esav, and therefore Yaakov tells Lavan, let me go back to my home. We'll try to understand why specifically Yosef is the nemesis of Esav. We know that Yaakov by now has very holy children. He has Reuven, he has Levi, which all the Kohanim and the Levim come from, and he has Yehuda, which is the tribe of kings. Then what's so special about Yosef that only Yosef is the nemesis of Esav? I once saw a beautiful answer based on the Medrash Rabbah and the Zohar where the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, Parsha Samachay 65 says that Omar Rabshim Gamliel says, "Kol Yomai Oisim Mishamish Zaba, all my life I served my father, but you should know, Veloy Shimashti Oisoi, even though I served him so much, I didn't serve him, Echod Memeyo Shashimash Esav Ezaviv. 100th the level that Esav served his father, meaning that Esav served his father 100 times better than I served my father. Why? Esav b'shosha m'shabesh es aviv. When Esav used to serve his father, noyim m'shamesh elu bebig de malchus, only served them with kingly clothes. In other words, Esav used special clothes to serve his father. Also, the Medrash Rabbah in Devarim, Parsha Aleph, Siman Tes Vav 15 says, Omar Rav Yudin says, Kim shebo Yisrael lases ima milchama. As soon as Jewish people came to do a war with Esav, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu Oiso Har Shehaavos Kvurim Boy, that mountain where our forefathers are buried, meaning he showed them Hebron where the Avos are buried, but specifically where Yitzchak is buried. Omar Lo Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moiluam Le Yisrael, tell the Jewish people, Ein Atem Cholim Lizdaveglo, you cannot go into war with Esav because you won't win. Because ad achshav, because until now, mizbakesh lo ischar kibud, he deserves the reward. Shekavat as eri shekvurim baharazeh, because he honored the tzaddikim, the righteous people that are buried in this mountain. So we see clearly that Esav has still a great reward because of the mitzvah of kibud av, because of the mitzvah of honoring your father. Also, the Zohar in Bereishis Kof Mem Vov says, when the pasuk says in Malachi chapter 1, verse number 6, Ben Yechabed Av, that the son will respect his father, Do Esav, this is Esav, Delehave Barnash Be'alma, because there wasn't a person in the world, the Yoiker Le'ovoy, Kamo the Yoiker Esav Le'ovoy, that respected his father as much as Esav respected his father. Vau Yakira the Yoiker Le'i, and as a reward for the honoring that Esav did to his father, Ashrit Lai Ba'alma Hashem made Esav rule in this world. So we see clearly from the Medrash Rabbah and from the Zohar that Esav's main reward, a main trait, and the mitzvah that causes him to win wars, that causes him to be powerful in this world, is the merit of Kibbut Av, of respecting his father, the merit that Esav respected his father in such a powerful way. And you see, unfortunately, in the other side, that the children of Yaakov, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, they did not respect their father, and they were neglect in the mitzvah of Kibbut Av, of respecting their father. Where do we see that? We see that clearly in the sale of Joseph, that they sold Yosef and they caused the father pain for 22 years. That pain can definitely not be considered that they did the mitzvah of Kibbut Av, of honoring his father. True that it was divinely already prophesied that Yaakov Avinu is going to suffer for 22 years because he himself did not serve his father for 22 years, but that does not give the rights to the brothers to neglect the mitzvah of Kibbut Av. Therefore, when it comes to a fight against Esav, those 10 don't have enough merits to overwhelm the merit that Esav had for honoring his father. The only two that remain is Binyamin and Yosef. Binyamin, we don't see that he honored or dishonored his father because he wasn't present at the sale, but we don't see that he risked himself to honor his father. The only one that we see that risked himself and risked his life and risked his freedom to honor his father was Yosef HaTzadik, because in Bereishis chapter 37, verse number 13, there the pasuk says, "Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef." Jacob told Yosef, "Halo yachecha roim bishchem." Your brothers are shepherding in Shechem. Lecho veshlochacho aleihem. Let me go, send you to them. Vayomer loy, and Yosef told them, Hineni, I am ready to do. Rashi says, what does it mean, Hineni? Loshen anova uzrizes, that he was humble, and he was ready to do his father's bidding with alacrity. What does it mean? Nizdares lemitzves aviv, that he was rushing to do the commandment of his father. Va'afalpi shayodeya ba'ochiv shesoni noisoy, even though he knew that his brothers hated him. Nonetheless, Yosef HaTzadik went and wanted to do the mitzvah of kibud av, even though he knew that he is putting himself at risk. And eventually, because of that mitzvah of kibud av, Yosef HaTzadik ends up being almost killed and ends up being enslaved for 13 years. Therefore, only Yosef HaTzadik, who has this great merit of doing kibud av, honoring his father, even at the risk of his freedom and even at the risk of his life, he is the only one who could overwhelm Esav. He is the one that could be the nemesis of Esav, because Esav's merit of kibud av is not stronger than Yosef's merit of honoring his father. Therefore, as soon as Yosef was born, Yaakov prophetically knew that he could now go back to his homeland, because Yosef's merit will overwhelm Esav's merit. We'll now continue to explain the exchange between Yaakov and Lavan regarding the wages. The pasuk continues in chapter 30, verse number 26, Tnoes noshai veselodai, that Yaakov tells Lavan, give me my wife and my children, Ashovadeti oischa bohein, for whom I have served you, Kiato yodato, because you know, Esavoidosi ashovadeticha, the work that I labored for you, meaning you know all the work that I did for you, you know that I worked for you for all these 14 years. Vayomer la'el of Lavan, Lavan tells him, Im na matzasi chen be'enecha, if I found favor in your eyes, nichashti, I learned by divination, meaning I learned through my sorcery, that vayvarcheni Hashem biglo alecha, that Hashem has blessed me because of you. Vayomer, therefore, Lavan tells Yaakov, Nakva schorcha olai, specify your wage on me, v'eteino, and I will give, meaning just set a price and I will give. V'yoymer elav, Yaakov tells Lavan, ato yodato eisa shevalticha, you know what I work for you, v'eisa sheyimikrecho iti, and that your sheep were with me. Kimat ashayo lecho lefonai, because the little that you had before I came, va'ifrois v'rov, in expanded substantially. Vayevorech Hashem oischo l'ragli, Hashem blessed you because of me. Va'ato, and now, mosa yaseh gam anoichi lebeisi, when am I going to work for myself? Vayoymer, Lavan tells Yaakov, mo etin lach, what can I give you? Vayoymer Yaakov, Yaakov tells him, lo yisiten lo yimeuma, don't give me anything. Im tase li hadavar hazeh, if you will do these things for me, Oshuvo eretzoicho eshmoir, I will go back and shepherd your sheep and I'll also protect them. And Yaakov proceeds to tell Lavan that Lavan should go and remove all young animals that have unusual color, and any animal that will be born from the flock that he'll be tending that will have abnormal color, that is going to be Yaakov's wages. And since such animals are freakish, and since Yaakov added that any young animal that has abnormal colors should be removed from the flock, the arrangement seemed to be advantageous to Lavan. Therefore, Lavan accepted the arrangement. But according to the Daza Keni Baal Tosfos, the deal was only to remove the young freakish color animals, meaning the young spotted and speckled animals, and the deal was not to remove the older animals, but Lavan went ahead and removed also the tayashim, the older animals, from the flock, thereby trying to reduce even further Yaakov's chances of having any spotted or speckled animals or any animals with an unusual color. All the Mefarshim are bothered by the language of Yaakov, because after Lavan asked them in Pasuk number 31, Vayoymer, that Lavan said, Mo etin lach, what can I give you? Meaning, what can I give you for wages? Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov says, Lo yisiten li meuma, don't give me anything. But after Yaakov says, don't give me anything, Yaakov proceeds to make a deal that Yaakov wants something. He wants all the sheep that are born spotted or speckled or an unusual color will belong to Yaakov. Then what does Yaakov mean by Lo yisiten li meuma, don't give me anything? The Zohar HaKodesh in Kof Samach 160 Amud Beis gives a beautiful answer to this question. The Zohar notes that when Lavan spoke to Yaakov in Pasuk number 28, Lavan uses a very weird term. The Pasuk says, Vayomer, that Lavan says, Nok vos chorcholai, establish or fix the wages on me, voiteno, and I will give. Nokvo is a very interesting term to say, establish my wages. It should be said, mas chorcholai, what is the wages that you want to put on me? Voiteno, and I will give. Why does Lavan specifically use the language, nokvo chorcholai, establish your wages on me? The Zohar answers, Omar Rabitzchok says, Ha'u Rasha Omar, that Lavan HaRasha thought, Ani Chomei, the Yaakov lo istakel elo benukve, I see that Yaakov only looks at women, uveginka hifukli, and because of a woman, he is willing to work for me. Omar, therefore he says, Nokva Schorcha. Nokva is the same letters as Nekeva, which translates as woman, which means a woman is your wages. Who nokva the ischarcha kad bekadmisa veteina? That woman that you had your wages and I gave, amen ma nokva istakla seba, tell me which woman are you interested in, veetna, and I'll give you, vefalach libegina, and you'll work for me for her, meaning nkeva ischarcha, I will give you another woman as your wage. Just point it out, because Lavan thinks that all Yaakov cares is women, meaning that Yaakov is willing to work only for women, because he first works 7 years for Rachel, and then Lavan switches Rachel to Leah, and then he works another 7 years for Rachel. That means he's working for 14 years to have two women. Therefore, Lavan tells Yaakov, you want another woman? I will give you another woman, and you work another 7 years. Just tell me who she is. Therefore, Yaakov tells him, Lo titen li meuma, you are not going to give me anything. Meaning that, Chalila, it's unconscionable to believe that I am interested in women. The only reason I did it is because that was the work and the will of Hashem. You are not going to give me any woman. But if you want me to work for you, then you should take all the sheep that are spotted and speckled and move them away, and I will work for all the sheep that are going to be born that are spotted and speckled. Then according to the Zohar, when Yaakov Avinu said, Lo yititen li meuma, you are not going to give me anything, he wasn't talking about the wages, he was talking about the deal that Lavan wanted to make with him, that he should take a woman as compensation for his work, in the same way that he did for the last 14 years. On that, Yaakov told him, Lo yititen li meuma, you are not going to give me anything. I'm not accepting any woman for my work. But if you want me to work, then you're going to have to give me the newborn sheep that are of odd color. The Rashbam, which always gives the Pshuto Shel Mikra, the simple interpretation, says that when Yaakov says, Lo yititen li meuma, you're not going to give me anything, it means you are not going to give me anything from what you have. Meaning, I'm not asking you to give me now money or any sheep that you have. All I want is any future sheep that's going to be born, that will be mine. But I'm not asking now for anything in advance. I'm not asking you to give me any of the sheep that is already yours. That's what Lo yititen li meuma means. That you shouldn't give from what you have now anything. But any sheep that will be born, spotted, or speckled in the future, that will accept as my wages. The Abravanel answers almost the same way, but he gives a reason why Yaakov would be expected to take something from Laban now. And he notes that in verse 26, Yaakov already mentions to Laban, Ki ato yodato, that you know Esav oidosi ashev aleticho, all the work that I did for you. Then Laban says to Yaakov that I did my divination, I realized that Hashem blessed me because of you. And then Laban asks to establish a wage. And theoretically, Yaakov at this point should tell Laban that he wants all the speckled and all the spotted sheep that will be born. But Yaakov doesn't do that. Yaakov goes and tells again the story, and he says in Pasuk number 29, Ato yodato esa shavatiha, you know how I worked for you, Vesa shayoy mikrechoiti, and how your sheep was with me, Kimat ashayo lecholefonai, the little that you had before I came, Vayifroitz leroiv, it expanded tremendously, Vayvarech Hashem oischo leragli, and Hashem blessed you because of me. When am I going to make for myself, for my house? Meaning that Yaakov is saying again how well you worked for Laban all these years. The Barbanel says that at this point, Laban is thinking that Yaakov wants to have something in the same way that when you send out a Jewish slave after he worked for you, specifically after you received blessings, then you have to give him Hanukkah, you have to give him parting gifts. Laban is thinking that Yaakov is extracting now parting gifts, that he wants Laban to give him something for all the blessings that Hashem gave to Laban. Therefore, Laban says, Ma etein lach, what should I give you? What are you requesting from me? What do you want for your past work? On that, Yaakov says, for the past work, I don't want anything. I don't want any gifts for the past because I made that deal with you and my deal was only for Rachel and Leah and not to get any gifts. But for future work, I will take any sheep that will be born, spotted or speckled. The Netziv says that Yaakov was being sarcastic with Laban. Laban asks, Mo etein lach, what should I give you? Yaakov says, I know you. I know that you're always going to find a way to trick me and not give me anything. That's impossible for you to act straight. It's possible for you to be honest and give something to somebody that's rightfully his. Therefore, Yaakov says that Lois siten li meuma, I don't want you to give me anything because I know that you can't give. You are not a straight person. What I will do is that anything that is born speckled or spotted, I will take for myself. I won't wait for you to give me, because if I wait for you to give me, I will never get anything. Therefore, he says, Lo siten li meuma, you are not going to give me anything. I know that if I wait, you will find a way not to give me. But if you want me to work, then I will take the sheep that are born speckled or spotted by myself. Sefer Shemeroish answers this question by bringing the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kof Yud Ches Omed Alev 118a. There the Gemara says, Omar Rav Shizvi Mishmei de Rav Lozer ben Azaria. Rav Shizvi says in the name of Rav Lozer ben Azaria, Koshin Mezenoisel Shel Adam, providing man's sustenance is as difficult, Ki Kriyas Yamsuf, like the splitting of the sea. How do I know that? Dichsiv, because it's written in Tehillim, chapter 136, verse number 25, Noisen lechem lechol bosor, Hashem who gives nourishments to all flesh, ki le'olam chazoy, that forever his is kindness. And in the same chapter, in verse 13, says, Legoizer yamsuv ligzorim, Hashem who split the sea into parts, ki le'olam chazoy, that's forever his kindness. Meaning that since in the same verse it's written the idea of sustenance by Noisen Lechem Lechabosar, Hashem who gives nourishments to all flesh, and Kriyas Yamsuf, because written that Hashem who split the sea into parts, then Rav Lozer ben Azaria says that giving nourishment to a person is as difficult as the crossing of the sea. The Rashbam is bothered. What does it mean that for Hashem is difficult giving sustenance as crossing of the sea? Who says crossing of the sea was hard for Hashem? Therefore, the Rashbam says Kloimer, it means to say, Nes Godl Osoloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'mishenoi Soloi Mezonos, that Hashem makes a huge miracle for somebody that He gives sustenance. Kasher also LeYisrael SheKara Lohem Yamsuf, in the same way that Hashem made the miracle for the Jewish people when Hashem split the sea for them. Meaning that you should know the fact that you have sustenance is a miracle. In the same way that crossing of the sea was a miracle, so too the fact that you receive sustenance is a miracle. Rashbam says, "Vanafkamina, what's the difference that it is a miracle?" Rashbam says, "Liboy rachma, that you require to pray for your sustenance." Sefer Shemeroch explains this Rashbam by asking the question, why did Hashem design in such a way that our sustenance should be a miracle? Since we are required to have sustenance in order to live, why did Hashem specifically made that mankind should only have the sustenance through a miracle? And Sefer Shemeroch asked the question of Rav Shimon ben Elazar in the last Omed of Kedushin, Daf Pei Beis Omed Beis 82b. There the Gemara says, Tanya Rav Shimon ben Elazar Oimer. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Miyamai lo roisi tzvi kayot. Never in my life I saw a deer that produces dried figs. The Ari Saval, I never saw a lion that's a porter. The Shul Chemoni, I never saw a fox that's a storekeeper. The Hemis Panasin Shloi Betzar, and they get sustained without any pain. The Hemlo Nivro Alo Shamsheni, and they were only created to serve me. The Anini Vrei Sile Shamash Eskoini, and I was created to serve my master, meaning I was created to serve Hashem. If they that are only created to serve me, they get their sustenance without any pain, and I that am created to serve my master, meaning Hashem, and shouldn't it be right that Hashem should give me sustenance without any pain? And Sefer Shemeroch says that true, that there Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that the reason that he has to have pains in order to get his sustenance is Shareoisa es Masai, because he has corrupted his deeds, the Kipachti es Parnasasi, and therefore I forfeited my sustenance, meaning that Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that the reason that he has to have pains is because he did some misdeeds. But since now we see that Rav Elazar ben Azaria says that your sustenance is a miracle, and according to the Rashbam, it means that you require to pray for it, why did in fact Hashem create a system that you require to pray for your sustenance? Why couldn't the sustenance come automatically the same way as it comes to the animals? Sefer Shemeroch explains that the fact that Hashem made it in such a way that we are required to have travails and we require to pray for our parnasa, that is a tremendous kindness of Hashem. Because Hashem hides Himself in this world, meaning that in this world we cannot recognize clearly His Ashgacha Pratis, His supervision. And people may think that there is no Manik Labira, that there is no control in this world. And if that would continue, then a person would go after his physicality and his physical desires until he loses all connection with the Almighty, which the connection with the Almighty is the whole reason why Hashem created man. Therefore, because of Hashem's great kindness, Hashem made it that the sustenance of a person should only come in this way, meaning that the sustenance of a person should not be automatic, but he is required to pray to Hashem in order to either, if he is poor, to receive his sustenance from Hashem, or if he's wealthy, that Hashem should make his business successful and Hashem should maintain his sustenance. And therefore his eyes are constantly looking up to heavens and asking Hashem success in his business. Like that, he's always connected to Hashem. And Sefer Shemeroch explains that this is exactly what the Rashbam means to say regarding Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Meaning that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says that mezonos for a person is a miracle, as Kriyas Yamsuf was a miracle, The reason is not that you have to pray for your mezoinas, for your sustenance. The reason that Hashem made it as a miracle is because Hashem wants you to pray. The whole reason why Hashem didn't give you the mezoinas, the sustenance, without any effort, as easy as He gives to the animals, is because Hashem wants liboya rachma, that you should pray for your sustenance. Because by you praying to your sustenance, you establish a connection to Hashem, and that is what Hashem wants. Hashem could have given you your sustenance without any effort, but since Hashem wants you to have a connection, He wants you to be connected to Him, therefore Hashem makes it that you have to pray in order that you should get your sustenance. And according to this Sefer Shemei Roish, the meaning of the Gemara is inverted, meaning that we learn the Gemara normally that since the sustenance of a person is a miracle, therefore we have to pray. But now the interpretation is the opposite, that because Hashem wants us to pray and wants us to be connected to Him, therefore Hashem makes the sustenance a miracle. And Sefer Shemei Roish says that he has a proof to this idea, that the Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Kof Yud Alef Omed Beis 111b writes down, V'omer Rabchiya Bar Yosef, Rabchiya Bar Yosef says, Asido Eretz Yisrael, that in the future the soil of Eretz Yisrael is destined, Shetoitzi Gruzko Zuchle Milas, that will produce ready-made baked goods and fine woolen cloths. So we see that in the future we are really going to be sustained without any pain, because the land itself will bring out baked goods and our dresses and our clothing. And that is because in the future everybody is going to recognize Hashem. Once everybody recognizes Hashem, Hashem doesn't have to give you the sustenance through pains and by way of a miracle, because then you'll automatically have a connection to Hashem. You'll know that Hashem is the creator and Hashem is the director of the world. You won't need to have prayer to connect you to Hashem. Sefer Shemei Roish continues and says that Yaakov understood this idea. Yaakov understood that if you would get a straight salary or get a straight wage, then he would not be connected so much to Hashem. Meaning that since you have a straight wage, you start thinking that the person who is giving you the wage, he is the one that's sustaining you, because you get your wage every week, week in and week out. Then you stop looking towards Hashem for your sustenance. You end up looking for that person that is giving you your wage. And Yaakov Avinu, since he's already in the house of Lavan for 14 years, and he already knows Lavan, that Lavan doesn't believe so much in Hashem. He doesn't want to be influenced by Lavan's way, and he wants to maintain his connection to Hashem. Therefore, Yaakov tells Lavan, Lo yisitan li meuma, you shouldn't give me anything, meaning that you shouldn't give me a straight salary, but you should give me whatever is born from my flock, because in order to have something born speckled from the flock or something spotted from the flock, then I require to have my eyes towards Hashem. I require to pray for Hashem for my sustenance. Once I start praying to Hashem for my sustenance, automatically I will be connected to Hashem. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu specifically requested that only the future sheep that will be born speckled or spotted, that will be his. There is still a very strong question on this Sefer Shemei Roish. Sefer Shemei Roish explained that Yaakov Avinu did not want to ask for a straight wage, meaning a certain amount of money every year or every week or every month, because Yaakov Avinu wanted to rely totally on Hashem, and only like that he'll maintain his connection. He didn't want to lose his connection to Hashem. But still, that doesn't answer why Yaakov Avinu didn't do a deal that was very common in the Gemara's time and in those days. Meaning, in the Gemara's time, the Gemara discusses a person who makes a deal to get a third of the crop, a third of the field, So Yaakov Avinu could have made a easier deal that he should get a third of the animals that is born, or a fourth of the animals that are born. And if he made a deal like that, he would still be relying on Hashem. Why specifically did Yaakov Avinu decide that he is going to make a deal that only the born, speckled or spotted, will be his? Why didn't he make a deal that he should have a percentage of the newborn animals that are born to the whole flock of Lavan? Sefer Kosnesor explains that since in the beginning of the Parsha, when Yaakov Avinu had the dream, in chapter 28, verse number 22, Yaakov Avinu says, V'choil asher titen li, and anything that you will give him, meaning that anything that Hashem will give, aser asrenu lach, I will sure tithe for you, meaning that Yaakov Avinu promised that anything that he will get, he will give tithe. That means that Yaakov obligated himself to give Miser, and in the same way that we have Miser on money and Miser on fruits of the ground, we also have Miser tithe on animals, meaning that any 10 animals that are born in a single year, you are required to give one of them as a sacrifice. And we have a rule that it's written in Bechoires, Daf Nun Vav Omet Aleph 56a, that Loikeach, that anybody who buys an animal, Potur Mimaser Behema, that he is exempt from giving the animal tithe. But Rabbasa, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says that Lokach Yud Uborim, that if you buy 10 fetuses, Bimei Imon, in the womb of their mothers, then Chayavim Bemaiser, then they are obligated in Maiser. Therefore, since Yaakov wanted to have the obligation to tithe the animal, Yaakov didn't want to get a third, because if Yaakov would have gotten a third, that means that Lavan could give any animal that Lavan wants. And once Lavan gives him any animal that he wants, it is tantamount as Yaakov acquiring the animals now, which then he is exempt from giving tithe. Therefore, Yaakov devised a plan that all the animals that will be born will be his, meaning all the speckled and spotted animals will be his. Then it's tantamount as he would have been acquiring them already in the womb of their mothers, because since all the animals are his, then all the animals are already acquired by the womb of the mothers. Then Yaakov is obligated to give tithe. Sefer Mishnas Chachamim in Kuntres Malas Amidos Daf Kof Lamedvav also answers in the same way as the Kostnes Or, that Yaakov Avinu wanted to be obligated in Miser, in tithing, because he had promised Hashem that he is going to tithe. And we have a rule that if you are a partner, then you are exempt from tithing, meaning that if more than one person owns the animals, then those animals are exempt from tithing. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu did not want to receive a third or a fifth or a fourth, because then he would be a partner with Lavan, then he would be exempt from the tithe. Therefore, Yaakov devised a plan that all the spotted and speckled animals will be his without any partnership. Like that, he'll be obligated to give the tithe. And according to the interpretation of the Mishnas Chachamim and the interpretation of the Kosnes Or, we could explain that when Yaakov Avinu said, Lo titen li meuma, that you are not going to give me anything, it doesn't mean that you are not going to give me anything. For sure, you are going to give me, as he explains, but it means that you are not going to give me a percentage or a portion of the newborn babies. All I want is that all the speckled or spotted animals. The Sefon explains simply that when Yaakov Avinu heard Lavan say, Mo etin lach, what can I give you? Yaakov became indignant and he said that, Lo yisitin li meuma, you are not going to give me anything. Meaning, don't think that you are the one that gives me my parnasa, my livelihood. My parnasa comes directly from Hashem. I cannot take anything that's yours, and you cannot take anything that's mine. Therefore, you are not giving me anything. Hashem is the one that is going to give me. Therefore, Yaakov asks specifically for the sheep that will be born, spotted or speckled, to prove to Lavan that he is not the one that gives, that Hashem is the one that gives. Therefore, Yaakov says, Loisiten li meuma, that you are not giving me anything, because everything that I get comes directly from Hashem. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all realize that our parnasa, our sustenance, comes from Hashem, and then Hashem should send Mashiach, and we'll have the ground of Eretz Yisrael producing cakes and clothing for everybody, and we'll have the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt. B'mehera b'yameinu, amen.